This week on Tower Dive.
This is not my fantasy.
That's not what you said last night. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Tower Dive. I, of course, am your humble host, Captain Hooks, and with me, as always, is the abnormally large-headed Pan the Man.
It's regular-sized.
Well, regular. I said I'm humble, so I'm giving you the big the egghead.
Oh, like a metaphor.
Like, yeah, it's a thing. It's a dichotomy thing. Yeah.
I think I'd rather have a big head than look like a high school theater teacher. What are you guys playing this year? You guys like a Cats?
Actually, I think we may we'll go like Goldilocks 2.
Oh,
you know it's like the trial of Goldilocks. I think is what it is.
Dust off a classic and go to Into the Woods.
Maybe maybe you'll just do the Rocky Horror Picture Show and really throw it all up into you know.
Go for the big one and just do Les Mis. No,
that's more like Les Mis. But I'm glad you went with the high school drama teacher as opposed to the coffee shop beatnik poet.
No, you're not
where I'm
quite
giving
there.
The snaps.
Not quite there. You need like
I'm pretty close.
Yeah, like an artisanal cigarette and like a cup of espresso.
Yeah, but it has to be served in the largest possible coffee receptacle allowable by man.
It's a quadro espresso.
It's like it's served in some sort of garbage can.
Just a punch bowl. That's just a
punch bowl
with a handle.
Yeah, seriously. It's just some sort of massive, I don't even know what. Also, I think I have too much facial hair. I have too much man beard. I need to thin this out significantly and just draw that on with like a felt tip pen.
Yeah.
But a brown one. Something gentle, delicate.
Yeah, that's nice. You don't want to irritate your lip skin.
No. It's got to be just above the lip.
Yeah.
Just something nice.
Yeah.
So what's going on, man?
Well, you know, just chilling.
Just living the dream, as it were.
Playing a ton of Ezreal.
I've noticed you've played a ton of Ezreal. I've noticed because I've been there.
Yeah. It's good shit.
Yeah, like you are playing Blue Ezreal, which Apto said was a no-no.
You know,
so I mean, you're bucking.
So look, I did two. I did a Blue Ezreal, and that felt pretty good. And then I did like regular standard build Ezreal, and that didn't feel as good.
Felt quite less good.
You know, so maybe Apto was wrong on this one.
I'm gonna say he's not. We're just not in Korean Challenger.
Maybe
I think it's a little bit. I think it's a little bit different.
That could be it.
You know, we're playing you're not playing against Faker, you're playing against Widowmaker, I don't know.
Widowmaker with a Y.
Widowmaker. Widowmaker.
XXL.
420 YOLO.
Yeah.
So, so I mean, there's actually, aside from our theatrics and bad jokes, we actually, there is some weird, interesting, kind of surprising information that we're just going to sort of get right into here. So the Riot made an announcement for their 2016 changes to the LCS, you know, spring split.
Right.
So this is jumping in like right now. Yeah. Like this is where we're starting in a few days, or actually in a day.
Yeah.
As we're recording this, it's tomorrow. So they're changing this right away. So, I mean, I don't know. I have to, again, assume that this has been discussed prior to them making this announcement. But I feel the timing of the announcement a little odd. I mean, I know it's already starting, but I think this would have been something to probably say, I don't know.
Well, a lot of it affects the challenger scene, you know, and like the end results.
Sure.
You know, nothing's really happening during the split as far as the rule changes are concerned.
Well, I mean, it does. There was with like subs and loans of players, and you know, then the playoffs and the reseeding and things. There's a lot of stuff, and it's really, I mean, a lot of it's really good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think ultimately for the health of League of Legends as a whole, these are necessities, especially since this preseason was rife with teams selling spots, and I think Riot became very cognizant of that.
Well, how could they not?
I'm just saying, I think they realize the problem that it is. It's a much larger problem than it is. No big deal, you know?
Yeah, no big deal. Just half the team sold their spot, and the other...
And others tried and failed.
Yeah.
I think that's the worst part about it is you think about all the teams that sold, and then there were still two other teams that attempted and unsuccessfully did not sell their teams. And really just have piss poor rosters. Yeah.
Well, there's no one left. You know?
Yeah. Because, well, they weren't trying to get anybody.
Yeah. That was probably, they probably should have had a contingency.
Yeah, right. Probably should have planned that you were going to have a team, and then, you know, when you didn't, it's like, surprise, none of you guys have jobs.
Yeah. So let's break it down. What are these rule changes that are going into effect?
Okay, well, I'm just going to read them what they have off of here, uh-huh, because they're just pretty quick, digestible blurbs about them.
Blurbs.
For the playoffs, during the playoffs, matchups will now be reseeded in the semifinal round so that the number one seed will face the lowest remaining seed and the number two seed will face the highest remaining seed. This is designed to reduce the incentive to place lower in the regular LCS season to set up for an easier run to the playoff finals.
Yeah, I get that one.
Yeah, we'll also be closing a loophole so that going forward, any player who has competed in the CS playoffs will not be allowed to compete in any phase of the LCS playoffs and vice versa.
I kind of get that too.
I like that. No, right off the bat, that's a great rule. It makes more sense for the seeding because, yeah, you did definitely see teams kind of dogging it towards the end to be like, well, I know we're better than this team, so we you know, we'll lose this last game, we'll play Teemo mid and whatever and just fucking douche around because we can't get top two, so we'll go for, you know, fifth and take on whoever and destroy them and be, you know, smooth sailing all the way in.
Right.
So I definitely like that. That makes more sense. It does create competitive integrity amongst the teams.
And I also get that Challenger series ruling too, where, you know, if you send one of your players on your roster and you loan them over to a challenger team, they can't be in your playoffs, right? You can't bring any more ringers.
Right. Well, I mean, that was a notorious little coast move, remember, when they sent their entire, all their really good players to their challenger team to win the challenger series, and they dogged it on their regular team. And it was just kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, it was dumb.
Sort of like, that seems kind of shady. Shady McShades a lot.
Something shady from Coast, who knew?
No way. Yeah. No, they're totally legit. Everything they do is completely on the up and up.
Yeah, definitely.
Nothing weird. So number two is competitive patch tournament realm. Champions who have not been available on the live service for more than 1 week, previously two, will automatically be restricted.
Yeah.
They lessen the time due to a couple of factors, but primarily because a shorter break from release helps to preserve a connection between the live environment that fans are playing at home and our pros are used to practicing and the tournament realm. This is kind of a lesser thing.
Yeah.
You're just going to see new champions quicker.
I get why they want this to happen. I don't necessarily agree with it.
It's just, to me, I just feel like this is an NBD rule, you know, no big deal. It's just the only problem that this could raise is if Riot releases an OP as champion right off the bat.
Yeah, and then it just becomes an instant ban for.
And it becomes, which usually are. New champions tend to be traditionally.
Yeah.
Especially if they're even they show the slightest inkling of being strong, they're immediately banned out.
Yeah, and even if they come out and they're like riddled with bugs, they can just be disabled. You know, this rule isn't necessarily hard and fast. But at the same time, I don't know, I think that might put a little too much pressure on players to learn the new champ as quickly as possible.
I have actually...
Which I think that's a core value for Riot. It's just one that I don't really agree with.
I like the fact that they are going to make new champions relevant because they do want a less of a disconnect between professional and, you know,
the community with their plan. I understand the thought behind it.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think this rule is that big of a deal because I think, like you said, the fact is they're probably going to be banned out for a majority of the games early on.
Yeah.
Unless they're a garbage champion, which then it doesn't matter. Yeah. So either way, I feel like it's just sort of a throwaway rule.
Yeah, it just seems to open the door for a lot of cheese. I think.
Potentially, which isn't always a bad thing in some cases, but it's, you know, whatever, we'll see. I think it makes teams have to be a little more cognizant of what's happening in the game right away, because they're not like, oh, well, this champion's not going to be enabled for another 2 weeks. I don't really give a fuck what they do.
Right. You can't practice it because
Yeah.
It's not going to be there for you.
Exactly. And you're not worried about practicing because you're not worried about seeing it or having to pick it.
Yeah.
You're not worried about having to counter it or having to be countered when doing it.
Yeah.
So I like it in that regard.
And I guess it's even less of a deal because Riot doesn't release new champs twice a month like they used to.
Yeah, it's not nearly like they used to. So, you know, big deal. So, you know, twice this season we're going to have to worry about that.
That's
the NBD. Yeah, NBD. That's a throwaway. Subs and loans. We'll be limiting each player contractually to one organization, but also adding a formal loan process by which players can be listed on more than one roster, allowing for movement between CS and LCS rosters. Now, that one comes a little weird sounding to me.
It seems strange because they also just previously stated that if you play in a CS playoff, you can't play in an LCS playoff.
But this doesn't talk about playoffs, so this is clearly... This is clearly targeted at during the regular season, especially if somebody is underperforming heavily.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, well, we need... So you could be like, well, we want to take on loan so-and-so from team whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Can you really bring in a ringer then from like an LCS team?
Well, here's the caveat on that. You know, think about how many teams in the a main LCS are... at the rule for foreign players.
That's true.
Most of them.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's the other way around is what I'm talking about. So let's say you're kind of struggling in the Challenger series,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, man, we just fucking need a better support, like, just this week or for the next 2 weeks. You can be like, hey, TSM, maybe we borrow Yellow Star every other week or something.
I don't think that is more like – I think because LCS teams, I think, would be so much more focused on – winning their split.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that they're going to bog down their star players with, hey, can you just play with this team? We'll give you $5,000. They just want to win. I mean, I understand what you're saying. I just don't see a team. You know, that's like that's like sending down your best pitcher to pitch in a minor league game for no good reason at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't seem like the other way that the train is going to go in the other direction.
I guess what it
feels like it's a one-way trip.
I guess what it then does is it encourages teams to have just more players on their roster, and so if they're
is what Riot clearly wants them to do.
It gives subs some fluidity, you know. And if they're not playing a week, they can play in CS maybe.
Yeah, you know, and it also gives. Yeah, I guess it, sure.
Now that kind of makes sense.
Yeah,
the track. I like that.
Yeah, it's not a bad rule. I feel like they've done things that were all pointing in that eventual direction.
Sure.
And the final one is the revamped promotion / relegation system. Mm-hmm. This is the biggest one, I think, personally.
Yeah, because everyone knew auto relegation was a bad idea.
And everyone really kind of felt, especially after last season and how things turned out in this offseason, that this was it was going to be a hot topic now because of
I don't know if this really addresses the whole situation yet.
But it partially does. And we'll get into that. Let me read the rule first, and then we'll do our evaluation. Auto promotion / relegation will be replaced with a best-of-5 tournament with double elimination after round one. We believe that over time we can gradually reduce the relegation risk that LCS teams face to encourage greater stability of leagues year over year, as well as helping LCS organizations attract long-term sponsors. Please read for full information. Well, whatever.
Do you want to read the full T's and C's?
Full?
Come on. Put me to sleep.
I was going to say, do we have that long of a time to do in the roster? I mean, this is not a lot. You know, I mean, they give an example. Like, it's round one, day one. 10th place team LCS versus 2nd place team CS.
Mm-hmm.
You know, round two, 8th place versus match one winner.
Yeah. So it's, 3 LCS teams have to play in the tournament, 2 Challenger Series teams have to play in the tournament.
2 LCS teams, not 3. One's auto-relegated, isn't it, still?
There's no more auto-relegation.
Oh.
Right?
10th, 8th. Oh, yeah, look at that. Yeah. So you're right. Yeah, 8th, 9th, 10th. You're right. My mistake. Yeah, and then the first place, and then the winner of match 1, and then the loser of matches 1 and or 2 and 3.
Yeah.
There's a lot to it. I mean, I think it's good.
Yeah.
Because, again, like they said, they want to promote long-lasting, subsistence, so to speak, of these teams. You know, you don't want to have to every season be like, oh, well, you know, this team's gone and this team's gone and they're selling their spot and this team's in, but they're going to sell their spot. Because that's harmful to the league.
Right.
And Riot, I'm glad, finally recognizes that is a bad thing.
Yeah. The thing that worries me about this is that it just seems like it's going to be really easy for mediocre teams to stick around.
But on the same token is that it's also going to make getting into the LCS mean more for challenger teams.
Right. So then they can
because you busted your ass in this money. Huge... Yeah, and it's going to be much harder for a challenger team. So you're going to... Yeah, it's going to make you sell your team for more money, obviously.
That's all we're doing. We're just driving up the prices of LCS spots.
Make that stock rise.
Yeah.
No, and that's what I'm saying. And you know what? Maybe that could be a potential, side effect of this. But I think it does make the teams that are playing for the spot want the spot more. And it makes the teams that are potentially going to lose their spot work a little harder to keep it.
Yeah, I think it's...
Where there's no more auto-relegation, it's kind of like, you know, you still have a chance.
Yeah.
Where a team like TDK maybe would still be in LCS now.
Once they got
with
other
this
players.
Kind of rule.
Yeah.
Well, since they only got to play 3 weeks with their players, you know, whatever it was.
That makes sense. Because, you know, once you... it's also nice, like, if you're having a really bad split and you're pretty sure you're going to be in 10th place, your season's not necessarily over.
No, you don't. You're not gonna. You know, you're not just preparing to pack it in and just gonna like whatever. This sucks.
You just gotta get ready.
I mean, it gives a team like Impulse this season a legitimate chance to stay in. You know, listen, our team is garbage now, but maybe we can, you know, not.
But is that a good thing? Because a team like Impulse doesn't have any interest in maintaining their team.
Maybe now they will because they can potentially keep their LCS spot.
Maybe.
I don't know. You know, maybe it reignites some kind of interest. Where hey, you know, we can do something here.
Yeah.
You know, let's see what we can make happen because they have an actual chance instead of being automatically relegated. But you feel bad because, again, a team like TDK, who now has a really nice looking roster in the Challenger Series, if they had that going in, maybe they would be in the LCS still.
And maybe they won't make it into the LCS next split because of how difficult it is to get into it.
Exactly. And then, they get the whammy twice.
Whammy.
And that would suck.
Yeah.
Although I do have to say, just based on paper alone, they're much better than the bottom three teams, I feel.
Yeah, probably.
And again, it's on paper, which means very, very little in the grand scheme of things. But on paper, they're better than teams 10th, 9th, and 8th, I feel.
So what happens in the long run?
Well, I think personally, I think this is the first step towards franchises. Mm-hmm. I think the next logical step that Riot would take, because I do feel eventually that there will be loopholes that are found in this as well, because these teams, while they seem to be stupid, are really good at finding ways around things.
Yeah.
For people that, when they run their business, they run it like a bunch of entitled children, when they're in the season... They really are good at finding ways to buck rules.
Yeah.
That for some reason are either written poorly. Yeah, well, I looked at this and I found that this and this and this don't actually pertain to us.
Great.
You can't pay your players a living wage, but you have fucking navigated our rule system and found a way to be a douche. so I do think that there is the chance that that will be found, and I think this is the first step towards franchises, which a lot of people have spoken about. I know Richard Lewis made a tweet about it. And I know he made some response to somebody that said a stupid thing, and I don't remember off the top of my head exactly what it was. But
all the responses Richard Lewis has to make to stupid tweets.
Like the statement made to Richard Lewis was dumb. It had to do about spending money, and Richard Lewis was like, yeah, because spending lots of money has always proven to be the best form of success and sustainability in esports.
Yeah, just dump money in the problem.
That makes it always go away. Look at all those teams that did that and made them work.
Yeah, absolutely worked.
So I personally, like I said, I think the next logical step would be franchises because that's what you need to survive. That's what you're going to need to create actual, true stability.
Yeah, now by franchise, you just mean basically teams. Right, like a brand almost, not just.
I mean teams that you can count on every year to be there. Like the New York Yankees are not all of a sudden one day going to sell their spot to some team in Toledo, to some guy in Toledo, and they're going to become the Toledo Yankees. You know, it's not going to happen like that. You know, you're creating within your league, this team, these teams are here. And if you then choose to expand and grow, you are offering new, you know, opportunities to people who want to get in the league. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's through some kind of a tournament or something. Because, I mean, in other sports, it's just voted on by the owners. Mm-hmm. You know, do we want to expand? Yes or no. A majority at this percent, you know, agrees then.
Okay, so let's say in like 3-4 years, if league is still around, you know, the TSMs and CLGs and Dignitas's and you know, maybe Energy.
They're already Royals. Essentially franchises. Those three teams that you just rolled off there with the TSM, so, Dignitas, and CLG, those are franchises because they're teams backed by larger, well-established organizations that are focused and driven by creating long-lasting success within esports as a whole, not just an individual game.
So, like, in 3 or 4 or 5 years, if League of Legends is still a thing, these teams like CLG and Dignitas and TSM, instead of there being, like, a relegation tournament or a promotion
they won't
tournament,
get relegated, no.
They would vote and be like, we're expanding this to 16 teams now.
Well, it wouldn't just be them. It would be all the teams that are currently. But yes, essentially what you're saying is, you would say, you know, we are, say season seven. Yes. We'll just use next season. Next season. We'll say, you know, Riot's like, okay, season seven, we are creating, you know, League of Legends, you know, the League of Legends. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's where it's going to start off, you know, it's LCS format. This is what's the word that I'm looking for? Fucking Pokemon, man.
The what?
Pokemon. Evolve. The evolution. Excuse me. Thank you.
Really?
The evolution. Yeah, I couldn't think of the word. I was looking. You know,
embarrassing.
It's not embarrassing. It's just it was on the tip of my tongue, lips and teeth. this is the evolution of the LCS. We're keeping LCS format, but you know now we're going in. Starting with 8 teams. And here is our 8 teams. There will not be any, you know, relegation.
So that would be they would shrink this league.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, if they want to stick with 10, stick with 10. I'm just, spouting off here. It's 8 teams in your TSM, Dignitas, CLG, Immortals, you know, Energy, blah, blah, blah. You run down the list. And those are your teams. These are your franchises. Whereas maybe the players will change. These teams you can count on to be here every single season.
Right.
And it treats the Challenger Series then as more of a minor league.
Right.
The thing about, the flip side of that coin is then you don't have, you know, new blood and as regards to teams coming into the league as often.
Well, if we could start treating trades and player movement as, you know, professional job decisions and not, you know, petty fucking attacks on Facebook, that'd be okay.
That's what I'm saying. Is it whereas some of the things it creates might seem off-putting, it also helps to stabilize the entirety of the professional environment where, like you said, player trades, free agency, you know, contracts, all of that stuff becomes much more legit and meaningful and less petty and less personal, you know, where you're going to create deadlines and you're going to say, you know, at this point in time, you cannot move players anymore.
Right.
You know, your roster is locked, which will, again, you know, as they move forward to longer splits where you're playing, you know, best of 3, best of 5, whatever it is, instead of 2 games a week, it's going to, you know, it'll make having a deeper roster make more sense.
Yeah. Give some players
and it'll
a break,
also mean,
you know, keep other people going.
Yeah. Like and it'll treat the Challenger scene, which I think then it should be, you know, longer.
Right.
Almost as long as the LCS is, which maybe it is. I don't know. I don't really pay enough attention to the Challenger scene. But
that's the first problem, really.
I only pay attention to it at the end. Well, yeah, and there was actually a post about that on Reddit. Why is it so difficult to follow the Challenger scene?
Yeah.
Well, it actually kind of is.
It is.
But that's one thing at a time. It'll create that. It'll treat that as a very, very specific minor leagues.
Yeah, I think it where be you'll good because that would kind of do away with the rat race that is the Challenger Series right now.
Exactly.
Right? It's not about winning the Challenger Series and getting into the LCS. It's about playing really fucking good so franchises will pick you up.
Exactly. I think makes players. It helps them develop more because instead of playing, 13, 14 games, whatever it is, you're going to play significantly more games, get significantly more exposure. Maybe the Challenger Series, it always feels like it's like six teams. Maybe that goes to eight teams.
Mm-hmm. 10 teams.
Ten teams, whatever.
Teams.
Excuse me.
45 teams.
200 teams. But maybe you give more teams opportunities like that because it's being treated like a minor league system where a team who's having struggles with their bottom lane can be like, well, look, we see that this team and this team is doing really good, so maybe we can initiate some kind of a trade or some kind of a buyout or some sort of...
It would probably be a buyout. I doubt any self-respecting player would be like, I'm going to go to the Challenger Series now.
Well, it wouldn't be up to them. That would, again, come into the contracts because, like in baseball... when you give options, players have options in their contract. And what options are how many times you can be sent down to the minor leagues.
You can be sent down to the minor leagues? Like you can
in baseball?
Make it, and they can be like, get out.
Sure, if you're struggling, you could be brought up to the major leagues, start off super hot, and you go on like a three-month slump, they'll send you back down for seasoning. Because you're not doing any good to yourself. Your confidence is shot. You're not helping your team any.
That's harsh.
So they'll send you back down. But like I said, in contracts, there are options. And when they say, because sometimes if you listen to sports radio or you watch ESPN and they'll talk about a player and them being out of options, it means they can't be sent down anymore.
Oh.
So it means that the choices the choice the team has is keep the player and try and hope that they work it out on their own or release them. Mm-hmm. So that would have to come into play where you would be treating this and maybe you'd let sister teams, teams have sister teams in the Challenger Series and then treat it as your minor leagues. But again, like a player like Double Lift, might not have any options on his contract.
Right.
He might not agree to sign a contract where he can get sent down to their farm team, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But a player like Stixxay, on the other hand, where you have high hopes for, but you don't know what you're going to get out of him, he would have options where he'd be like, Stixxay, he's just not cutting it right now. You're not doing what we need you to do. So-and-so has been working in the Challenger scene. He's doing really good right now. We're going to send you down there so you can keep playing instead of just jettisoning you to the bench or just releasing you outright because you have this option. We're going to send you down. You're going to keep playing. You're going to get better. And then hopefully, maybe in the summer split, you've gotten whatever was going on in your head. You've righted that. And we can try this again. Maybe then everything will be better for you.
And that seems just a lot healthier, right? Because if you're sitting on the bench,
you're not learning anything.
You're winning, but you're not getting any better. Or you're not winning.
Exactly.
But you're not getting any better.
You're not. Yeah, your game isn't improving anyway.
Yeah.
Because you're not being placed in proper competition. And that's the whole thing with minor leagues is that it's better than sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
It's better than not helping at all.
That's true. At least you're keeping warm,
Yeah, well, yeah, sure. You're keeping it warm for the other people, pushing, Yellow Star, sit here. Yeah, I don't sit on the bench, sorry. I do. This is stuff, I say season 7,
okay.
But this is, I mean, this is far off stuff.
Yeah.
This is stuff where maybe the seeds will be planted in season 7.
When by the time League of Legends 2 releases, this will be the scene.
Hopefully, I do think that this lends itself towards the sustained health of esports as a whole, not just specifically League of Legends, because the first esport to adopt this model and shows that it works. You are Trailblazer because you have now done what everyone who watches esports, who knows even a little bit, the littlest bit about traditional sports, has said that they should do for forever.
Yeah. No more open tournaments, I guess unless you want to treat it like golf, right? That's kind
of that's the other way. That's the other way to do it.
It's treated like golf. You have pro tournaments and you have pro ams and you have am.
Yeah, pro ams and things like that. But League and Riot Games have very clearly shown that they don't want that.
No, because they want complete control over the system.
They have, which now my system makes more sense. Yeah. When you say you want complete control, it's like, good, well, here, then you have 8 teams, 10 teams, whatever it is, you can't get rid of them, this is what they are, unless they get voted, you know, that they want to leave, or they want to move, or they want to give up their spot. It has to be agreed upon by everyone. It can't just be like Dignitas says, we don't want to play anymore, we're out.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. You're here.
No, it doesn't work that way. Doesn't happen like that.
Make it work.
Yeah. So I definitely think that this is a model that Riot wants. And maybe the teams don't want it. I don't know. I can't speak for them. I think I want it.
It would pretty much kill League of Legends in IEM, right?
Probably.
It would just be
IEM would become a IEM would basically be a
show match.
Matches.
I mean, it wouldn't mean
which
anything.
Is fine.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Kind of sucks
but
for IEM.
It would hold very little. But I mean, think about it. Really, what weight does IEM hold currently?
TSM World Champions. Come on.
Exactly. None. Doesn't hold any weight.
Yeah.
IEM holds no weight. It's just treated as a show match. It's treated as a preseason. It's treated as a, this is what we're going to roll out for you right now. We don't even know if this is what our team's going to look like. If they shit the bed, it doesn't matter. It's not the LCS. That's how teams treat it. That's how fans look upon it. There's no self-respecting.
Treat so look here. It doesn't matter. It's not the LCS.
Exactly. I don't think any self-respecting fan looks at IEM and goes, this is the big times right here. Right here, this is where the fucking movers and shakers are.
You know,
I mean, look at Unicorns of Love's roster.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You know, it's and that sucks, but that's where we're going.
Yeah.
That's where IEM is going. It is a show match. And it can be a great show match.
Yeah.
You could do an awesome job with it. Like I said in a previous show, you can do IEM a couple of times a year in different areas to really give teams
do.
Well, no, they do twice.
Three or four.
Is there?
Yeah.
I know there's San Jose preseason.
Yeah.
They did. Do they still do Katowice?
They still do Katowice.
Okay.
I think there's four.
Is there?
Yeah. Because I think there's one in Germany.
Is there?
And I think there's one in maybe Poland.
That's Katowice.
But yeah, it's more than two. Definitely.
Well, maybe it is.
Yeah.
Season 10. Nope, no league. Nope, no league. San Jose. Cologne. And Katowice. So there's three.
Oh, there's three. I was close. You won Price is Right rules, though.
Yeah. So, fine. I'm even saying do more then.
Yeah. Because there's
give more opportunity. You know, have an IEM New York.
That's where their market is. It's international tournaments.
Yeah, have IEM, you know, have IEM New York, have IEM Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
You already have San Jose.
IEM Vienna. Fucking IEM Moscow. I'm going the other way.
Took it crazy. Too much.
Yeah.
Too much.
IEM Hong Kong.
But you could do, I mean, you could, honestly, three, you can even do it as a preseason.
Yeah.
A mid-season, and an end of season.
Yeah. That's true. And people love it.
And you could do one for each side. You know, you could do IEM Cologne, IEM Katowice, you know, IEM fucking England, IEM Spain, whatever you want to do.
That's a great little competitive niche.
Yeah.
To be in, too. It's just
and you
can
make those
tournaments.
And those could be pro-ams.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I think it'd be great to get, you know, four professional teams and four amateur teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or even better, you know, grab two, you know, in America, you grab two American teams, two American amateur teams, two Korean teams, and then two wildcard region teams, and do the same exact thing in Europe, where you have two European teams, two European AM teams, two Korean teams, two wildcard region teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could
and
be
you
great.
Get to see.
That could be great.
That's what I'm saying. And so all these young players get exposed to.
International,
you know, better competition, international play. You know, you get to see other regions and how they do things.
Yeah, the really difficult part as far as hosting that kind of event would be getting the players there, because you know some of these pro teams aren't going to have the funds to fly out a 5-man roster to fucking Cologne. You know,
sure.
So you're probably going to foot a little bit of the bill.
Right, but I mean, you have to, I mean, but I don't think Intel is hard up for cash.
No. Intel might have enough money.
And I think the benefits of doing this, if you do it right, outweigh the negatives. Because look at, I mean, let's just, for example, look at how the LCS playoffs in Madison Square Garden fair.
Right, it was huge.
Those were sellouts, instant sellouts. That was MSG, one of the most important arenas in the world. You sold that out with games of Impulse versus Team Liquid. Yeah. Imagine bringing in a Korean team. Yeah, imagine getting, you know, CJ Antis or you know, Najin or SKT or one of these teams to come in and play, and a couple of other teams. You know, maybe you get a Chinese team in there where you get people who have never gotten a chance to see these teams up close. And the games don't fucking matter. They don't – they mean nothing other than being show matches.
Probably prize money.
You know, I'm just saying in terms of the competitive, they're not going towards Worlds.
Fuck up your league or anything.
Exactly. You know, it doesn't fuck up your points or anything. You know, but you have they're important because you get to play in front of people that you wouldn't normally get to play in front of. I think for the players it's great. I think for the community it's great. I think for the game it's great.
Yeah, I think we just solved League of Legends.
Yeah, and then everyone who wants, you know, League of Legends to be like it was, like with golf, you know, you're just playing tournaments and stuff. You get three of those. You get six of those a year. Three on this side, three on that side.
I love it.
It's just. I think it's a great idea, and I, you know, the fact that they haven't embraced that, and it is what it is, but I think it'd be,
you know,
I'm sure that there are, and I'm sure it's not as easy as me just saying, do this and do this. Oh, look, it's done.
You have to coordinate between North American LCS, European LCS.
Well, that's why I said you do a pre, you do the beginning of the season, mid season, end season.
Yeah.
All of those end at the same exact time, basically.
I mean, what are you going to do, like in the like a 2 week break in the middle of every season?
Yeah. For everyone between spring split and summer split.
Okay, maybe it could work out.
It could absolutely work. That's why I said you have three. It's perfect. Yeah. It totally lends itself to it.
You could probably squeeze in a fourth.
You probably could if you want, but you start it with the three because you have the three very obvious breaks. Yeah. And I think you could even probably throw another one into the off season.
Yeah, I think so.
You could definitely have one shortly after the season ends, and then 2 months later after the season ends.
Or maybe like a big international just challenger event for the off season.
Yeah,
or something.
Do something like that. Yeah, you have a cool that even better where you could have an international challenger event where you take your best challenger teams from North America, from Europe, from China, from Korea, from wildcard regions. You have a big fucking miniature Worlds.
Yeah.
You know, Worlds too, but this is the fucking amateur Worlds. That's awesome. This is awesome sounding. I'm excited. It's even real. Yeah, somebody write this down. Somebody who is at Riot, if you're watching this, I don't even want a lot of money for it.
Just enough.
Just a little. Just give us some. Throw us a bone.
Yeah.
Come on. God damn it. These ideas don't come out of thin air. We put a lot of thought into them.
That's a thought.
The most thought.
Didn't just make
so it. Did not just come out of this conversation. Yeah. We definitely talked about this beforehand at length. Sure, we did. Yeah, so I think, like I said, the more we talked about it, the more awesome it sounded. Yeah, and I got really excited for something that isn't real.
Out.
Yeah, right? Let's just write it down. I mean, at least we have it recorded, so we won't forget it.
Copyright. Tower Dive.
Copyright. Tower Dive, yeah. At or C, TM, all that stuff. Tower Dive, Captain Hooks, Panda Man.
Who would probably use our real names on that one?
Well, I don't want to give them our real names on here.
On the paperwork, it'll be our real names.
Oh, the paperwork, we'll sign them. Yeah, we're not going to post the paperwork on our podcast.
No, that'd be
weird.
Ridiculous. It'd
be stupid. Although, I would probably post it just, you know, with the signature part cut off.
Yeah.
Just to show we made that shit happen.
No, that's good. That's good shit. And
I agree.
These new rule sets are kind of a step in the right direction. But
and yeah, if for some reason somebody listened to us and that happens down the road, this is that step towards that.
The only downside I can think of is that there's going to cease to be new teams, right? There's going to be your big 10 to 15 franchises, and that's it. You know, those are the franchises that you have.
Here's the thing. How many times last season did you say, man, I wish there wasn't 10 teams in the LCS because these teams are dog shit at the bottom?
That's true.
But, I mean, there were a couple, so it's really not that bad.
There were a couple times where I'm like, man, I wish these teams weren't still in the LCS.
Dig it tough. You know? I know, and I again, there is always going to be good and bad. You don't think other sports feel that way? But that's why then there is expansion.
God damn it, the Browns are still a team? Jesus Christ.
Exactly. Shit, they left and they brought them back. But, you know, and that's where then you have the expansion of, you know, the conversation of expansion where the team's owners get together during the off seasons and they say, okay, how healthy is the league right now? Is everyone making money? Are we all doing well?
Is everyone making money? That's
can the league? Well, yeah, that's the most important thing. Here's why: because you don't want to add another team if there are teams that aren't making any money. Is everyone like, you know, how much money are we making? This is awesome. The game has never been healthier. Esports has never been doing better. Do we want to add another? Do we want to add two more teams? Because you always have to do it in twos unless you have an odd number.
Is it possible to subtract teams?
Contraction? Yeah, it happens. Absolutely. Again, are we making enough money? You know, you see these teams here lying in the weeds, really not making enough money. They're not playing at a high enough level. They're traditionally at the bottom of the league. What do we do about them? Vote to contract. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, is there a young team that's been playing in the Challenger Series that has done well that we can move into their spot?
Is that fair to that team that's getting contracted out, though?
If they're not doing well, and it's not something that's going to happen. Look, the spring split, this team sucked, kick them out. No, if like 3 years of being a cellar dweller, or, you know, four splits of being a cellar dweller and losing players and just not being competitive, eventually, you know, something has to happen.
Right.
Either it's because it's probably it's an ownership issue it becomes. Because it if you're a franchise and you're TSM, and for some reason all of a sudden for spring split, summer split, you are just habitually 9th, 10th place, you peak at 8, but you're always bad. And you sign players and they leave, and you sign players and they leave, and they don't want to, you try to sign players and they don't want to play for you. It becomes a management issue because there's obviously a reason. Either you are not offering competitive salaries because you're keeping money because you're trying to make more money, or you're how you run your team isn't, you know, player friendly, whatever it is. It stops being, oh, we just have bad players, and it starts to be, well, there's a reason why you don't get good players and you can't retain talent because it is an ownership issue. And then, you know, you've given them the chance to try and redeem themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying.
Hey, look, if you don't, you know, start working harder or, you know, make more or get some new sponsors.
Yeah, or just try to, you know, the reason you're not making money is because you're not spending money.
Yeah.
You're expecting mediocre players to play well above their station. Because you don't want to pay for star players.
You got to give them, you know, those mediocre players enough support to actually get better too, right?
Exactly. Yeah, sure. And again, and that's where franchises and stuff.
That's the strength.
Where they're being a minor leagues and where they're being the potential of a minor league where you can say, all right, well, these players aren't doing well. Let's send them down for more seasoning and let's kind of change things up. You know, we'll bring up a mid laner and a support because our mid laner support aren't really working well and it's just, they're struggling, and these guys will give them a chance. You know, it gives new players a chance to play. Mm-hmm. It gives old players a chance to continue trying to maintain their careers.
Like taking off a little bit of pressure at the same time.
Yeah, maybe they need that break from the LCS. Maybe it is too much trying to keep that high level of play going. I don't know. But I personally feel like this model helps out, you know, way, you know, the column of good versus bad is so much skewed in the good side. It's mind-boggling that they haven't attempted to do this yet. And maybe they haven't. It's just been met with a great deal of backlash. I don't know.
It's probably pretty tough to do it right now. I don't think there's enough players.
I do think there's enough players.
I think there's enough good players.
Well,
like LCS caliber players. I don't think there's
enough. I think a big handcuff, and this sucks, but a big handcuff is the foreign rule.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, yes and no. I know.
But
I know
here's the thing. Here's the thing. You franchise, you don't have to worry about foreign teams just shipping over teams and competing in our LCS.
No, you do kind of have to worry about just a whole bunch of foreign players just coming in.
Fine, then be better than them. That's the same thing every sport has right now.
True.
Be better than them.
Be better.
Just be a better player, and then you don't have to worry about losing your spot.
Yeah.
Right now, the reason that Americans, you know, don't want all this Korean influx to come in is because then they have to work harder to try and keep their jobs. And they want that fat, fat payola. Well, you only get that by being the best.
Yeah.
And being a pro infers you are the best. So if there's someone who's better than you that deserves your spot but isn't getting it simply because they're Korean or Chinese or Brazilian or Dutch or whatever it is, that's not right.
Straight up racism.
They're being held down because their region, they are not the best player. So they try to make a life for themselves and you know, break into the scene in a different place, but they can't because you have to keep three American-born or you know, North American, you know, yeah, whatever, however you want to refer to it as, players on your roster.
But at the same time, if they're struggling in their own region, doesn't that hold?
I'm not saying they're struggling. I'm saying they haven't gotten the opportunity. Uh-huh. They're, you know, they are Easy Hoon. You know, they are these players who are great players who get the chances to play but can't start on their team for because, you know, you're backing up Faker or you're backing up Marin or you're backing up you know, Piglet or you're backing up these great players, Gank by Mom, Tracer, you know, all these players. You don't get the opportunity to play because the people above you are better than you.
And
doesn't mean you're bad. It just means you play in a region that has significantly higher expectations out of their players.
Does that whole be better mantra not really work out then?
Does that what?
Be better mantra not really work out then? Like, if they want playtime and if they want to...
But they are better. Just because they're not better in their region doesn't mean they're not better. That, because they're Korean, shouldn't mean that they can only play in Korea because, well, America, all of our teams already have the two Koreans or two Chinese or two foreign-born players that we're allowed to have right now. So you're stuck in your region because you're amazing and everyone thinks you're amazing, but you can't leave because right now we don't have room for you. You may be a top 10 in the world top laner and you don't want to play in China and you want to play in America, but you can't.
Mm-hmm.
I think being good is just being good. You should have the opportunity to play wherever you want and wherever you're wanted.
Yeah, that would be nice.
And, you know, and again, I feel like that would drive the players in their respective regions to be better. If you don't want to be replaced by Seraph, be better than Seraph.
Yeah.
I mean, a bad example, but it's there.
It's a lot more applicable here than in a good at the team game. You know, you have to have five people to play it. In StarCraft, when they got rid of region locking, every region got flooded with the mediocre Koreans. And so people lost interest in their own region's world championship tournaments because, you know, they had none of their
regional players. But StarCraft's a single person, you know, playing there, you know, for them. Yeah. You know, yeah, you're playing with other people, but it's just, you know, you versus you.
You're on a team, but, you know.
You're part of an organization. Yeah. It's not really you're on a team. Yeah. You're part of an organization. Right. It's like Hearthstone.
So it kind of works a little bit better in League of Legends just because you have to
Yeah, because it's a team. Thing. You know, it's like the same. It's like the compare. It's like, you know, with the complaint the NBA had where they're all, everybody is, you know, it's all foreign born players from, you know, Europe and Eastern Europe and all those places. You know, there's no more, you know, no more white people playing.
Well, be better at basketball. Also be
exactly. Well, do you want to play in the NBA? Be good at the game. Yeah. But all they do is import European talent. They're better than you are. I don't really know what other way I can break this to you. Do you want to play a professional sport? Then be very, very good at it. It is a professional sport, not a professional right. You get the opportunity to play it.
Yeah, show up and do it.
Yes, if you do, if you want to play, then play intramurals if you just really want to play the game. But you are afforded the opportunity to play by being good, and just, you know, your nationality shouldn't have anything to do with that. And I know that they want to keep, you know, North America has got North American players, and Europe has European players, and China's Chinese, and Korea, blah, 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 blah. Why do you think there are no American players or European players playing in Korea on any teams?
Well, one, they're not good enough. Two, it's super hard to get on a team in Korea because most people aren't good enough.
Okay, so, like I said.
There's that.
It's just, you know.
The thing about that is, though, having North American players be from North America, or North American teams have North American players, because that kind of adds a little more excitement to the world's.
Sure, aspect, it creates, right? Yeah, sure, it creates a world. But again, if you're a CLG fan, you're a fan of CLG and want CLG to win.
But
whoever gets CLG the world championship, it doesn't matter. Getting that sweet, sweet title is what you want.
I don't know if people,
because it's the team that wins. You're not rooting for just the player to win Worlds.
I think a lot of fans aren't there yet, though. A lot of people are fans of players and not teams.
Right, and that's where franchises is going to work to try and create long-lasting fans.
Because you have this brand that's going to be around forever, right?
You could become a fan of TSM. You could be a TSM fan even when Bjergsen retires, because you stayed by them and Bjergsen was your favorite mid laner for 3 years, and then Bjergsen hung up his boots and became a coach, and then they got this new mid laner and he was okay, and they had their rough times and their rough patches, but you know, you stick by your team. And that's, again, goes back to the Fandemonium episode that we did, because that is true fandom. You stick by your team, you don't just root for players. But right now, you know, League of Legends is very difficult to just pick your team, because outside of the handful that you have, you don't know who's going to be around. You don't know if NRG is just going to decide to turn around and bag it and sell their team next season because the owner doesn't really like being a League
of
Legends.
Teams like that.
Exactly. And that's what it says. And that's where it hurts the sport as a sport. Because the only teams that have fans are the teams that have been around forever. And the only way you can create long-lasting fans is having teams be around for a long time. It's such a Dutch door.
It's a vicious circle.
Indeed it is. So I think this is the first steps towards franchises, which then create so many more opportunities, so many more chances at sponsors. Because, again, also in making money, it's the most important thing. If a sponsor is going to be much more attracted to a team if they know they're going to be there.
Right.
You're not going to want to throw your name on somebody if they only last half a fucking season and then they're out.
There's no return there, right?
There's no return. Yeah. There's no reason for big companies to invest in teams like that.
Yeah.
There's no return on your investment.
But if you're guaranteed to be in there for at least 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, then it's okay. Exactly. We'll put, you know, you just look at different companies, you know, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, you know, any of these other companies
Gatorade,
can be around. Gatorade.
Monster.
No, it could be just plenty of other, of things out there. And again, and I feel like the volatility of esports is what keeps a lot of those companies away.
Yeah, definitely.
Because they don't, you know, they're not just going to be like, we're a Riot Games sponsor.
Well, and I also think it's difficult to sell some players' personalities, right?
Sure. Well, because you're trying to sell, you know, what the world sees you as a nerd.
Like, no one gives a shit if Kiwi Kid's wearing a Gillette razor on his jacket. Right?
Yeah,
buy more razors.
Yeah, no one gives a crap that Impact is wearing a Adidas headband. You know, but we care. And you know what? It exposes brands to people that may not have been interested in those brands.
Yeah. I feel like maybe Degree deodorant has...
It's a good one. Old Spice?
Yeah, Old Spice. You know, basically anything Unilever probably has a great team right there, right, ready to be purged to jump in.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And again, this is where, you know, you got to let, like, you know, Brazzers and Naughty America and YouPorn sponsor teams. I mean, here's your demographic right there. A bunch of kids, a bunch of repressed kids.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
I don't know.
But then you have to raise the age to 18. No, I try not to.
Could you imagine like Yellow Star and Double Lift doing like a L'Oreal commercial?
Oh God, I didn't know where you were going with that. Oh God, I was just talking about Brazzers and U-Porn. Can you imagine Yellow Star and Double Lift doing?
Yeah.
Doing who? Doing porn? No.
Yeah.
Oh. Don't give Reggie the idea. That's a marketing opportunity. Ooh. Tons of cringeworthy. So yeah. So that's the rules. That's our spin on them. That's what we hope can happen. We might have written the future of League of Legends. You heard it here first on episode 40.
Change your name to Hoekstradamus.
Right?
Yeah. And I can be...
I like that. Oh, man, can that be a segment where I just put on, like, a turban?
Hoekstradamus?
And Hoekstradamus!
I like it. I will tell you, if League...
People can... We can field questions.
If League moves to this franchise-type format, there's going to be tons of backlash from non-League of Legends teams. Right? Because no other tournament would be run like that. So if you have like C9 that has League of Legends and CSGO teams, being a franchise with multiple teams and multiple different games, I'm sure they're probably not super happy about that.
I don't know. I think they'll definitely see the opportunity that they can have long lasting careers and
one of their teams.
I mean teams like C9 and TSM that have good teams in other sports, in the esports, I think that that's good if they see, oh, well, look, you know, they want a franchise. Well, maybe CSGO will franchise, and then, you know, we'll have a great... Although I do think that there are a lot... the thing is, League is right now the only esport that is a true league, as opposed to being a series of just, you know, of different tournaments. And, yeah, you know, you get like... So it's really difficult to apply this unless they're going to adopt that whole entire thing.
But I mean, there are people out there that believe that the series of tournaments is the correct way to do it.
And I don't disagree with them. I'm not saying that this is the best way to do things, but if you're going to do things in such a manner where you're not going to have a series of tournaments, then you need to franchise and you need to structure. Yeah, if you're going to do it, if you're going to adopt this idea as how we're going to run our business and how we're going to run our competitive scene, then do it the right way. Run it like a true league and run it like a true, team thing. Yeah. I don't know.
That makes sense.
That's just me.
No, I get that.
I feel like it's just you're wasting time by not laying the groundwork for this kind of stuff.
Well, they are laying the groundwork for it now.
Well, now, but we're in season 6.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they didn't know what it was going
to
be.
It's not like the NBA popped up overnight.
Yeah.
They've been doing the same thing for, you know, over 100 years. Yeah, so it's not like you could look at, again, and I stand because I feel like it's partly it's arrogance. And maybe I'm overstepping by saying it's partly it's arrogance in the part of Riot Games thinking that they can do something. And we're going to do it a different way, though. We're not going to do it the way that CSGO, that Dota, that all these other esports have done it in the past, which is a series of tournaments. No, 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 we're going to run a league. But we're not going to run a league that the way that other already well-established old leagues have run their situation for hundreds of years. We're going to try something different. No, are you so fucking brash and so arrogant that you think you can create something different? That's not different at all, and would run better if it was run the same way.
I really think the big bottleneck, you know, for this kind of thing is just the amount of LCS ready players. There's not enough players. You can't just take the top 100 of ladder and then have 100 players and start and turn that into an amateur scene and an LCS team. It's not going to be as good.
Listen. You think when Major League Baseball started that every single player was great? Was not.
Yeah, not good.
You think when the NBA started, every single player was the best player in the world? They weren't. Yeah. It's going to take time, but what it does is it cultivates something. It creates something. It gives more people the opportunity. So it makes you be better. Your first class of players, no, they're not going to all be the best. Your top 100 players, they may, you know, there may only be 30 players that are fucking worth shit. Mm-hmm. But does that mean that that's the way it's going to be for 25 years, whatever it is? No, of course not. Eventually, there are going to be, you know, it's going to go for, out of 100, 30 players were worth it. And then, 45. And then, 60. And all of a sudden, it's like, well, we have 100 players in the league, but we have 175 people that are fucking just you know, chomping at the bit to get in this league. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it'll just, it cultivates a drive. It creates you know, more competition, and it makes players want to be better because they see that it's actually a legitimate option for their career. Mm-hmm. For something when they're at that age and you're playing this game, whatever it may be at that time, but you're putting all this time into a game, and it's not just something you could do as a hobby. It's actually something you get paid for. It's actually something you can do that you could have sustained a success and you know, monetary compensation more than just winning a couple of hundred bucks at an online tournament.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and that's, I think, what esports as a whole is hoping to have happen.
Wants in the long run.
I mean, that's what I think all of this is leading towards, and at least what all they're trying to kind of corral esports towards is to be considered legitimate and real and not be just something that, you know, is such a niche. I mean, bowlers, they've been professional for decades. And bowling is, I hate it.
It's not interesting.
No, just professional pool
people
players.
People take League of Legends more seriously than they do bowling.
I do. Yeah. But like I said, I hate bowling. But what I'm saying is that you have all these other things that, yeah, they're niche, but they get, you know, respect,
right?
Because they're run in a way that's professional. Yeah. League, just, you know, in esports as a whole, just needs to kind of find their footing in that and say, this is how we're going to do it from now mm-hmm. on.
And then put their foot down.
Instead of changing things and adapting. And yes, I know that's the growing process, the learning process, but you shouldn't have to learn when there are already blueprints out there for you to look at, to say,
you know.
Exactly. You just bite the bullet. You're going to piss off probably a whole lot of people when you do it. But you want to know what? In the long run, those people that are pissed off are going to be the ones that will hold you back from making that next step.
And they're also probably the ones that are, you know, ready to move on to Dota 2 anyway.
Yeah, or they're on the cusp of being out of it anyway. The only reason they're hanging on is because they have the opportunity to hang on without having to buy in, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, when you force them to be like, listen, it's this or you're out. Well, then we're out. Well, you'll be missed. Sorry. This is what we're doing going forward. This is the way League of Legends is going to operate from this point on to the foreseeable future. Maybe we'll change things here and there, but minor tweaks, you know, tightening the screws and loosening the gears and here, whatever we need to do to make this better. But this is the machine. This is how it's going
machine.
To work. And this is how it's always going to work. You know, and that's what they need to do. They need to bite the bullet and piss some people
that'll
off.
That never happen. There's way too much risk there, because if they piss,
they're too hell bent on making everyone happy by making nobody happy. Yeah. Oh, well, we're gonna cater towards the pros. Well, you've pissed off your whole community. All right, well, we're gonna try and make the game more accessible to everybody. Well, then you pissed off your core audience. It's just, you know, fucking take a stance, bite the bullet. Say this is how we're going to do things. They're going to stick
and
by it.
Actually come out and say it. No teases, you know, no fucking TLDR.
Stop sitting in the corner. Stop sitting in the corner with your fucking dick in your hands and just do it. God damn it.
Got a little fiery there at the end.
Yeah, it's how it is, man.
That's good.
God damn.
Yeah.
That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
I think that's a good button on that topic, too.
Right?
Yeah.
I think it's just
that's nice.
Cross the T. Dot the lowercase
yeah,
J.
That's good. So I think we're going to do a little bit of a shorter show tonight. So while we're headed towards the end of it here, let's do a, you know, we had our fantasy fan LCS draft, right?
Yeah, that was supposed to be streamed live, but instead I just previewed it.
Somebody
for,
didn't
for
hit
like
the record
2.5 hours
for the entire thing.
Might have been me. Might have been somebody else, though.
That came
but
out,
it might have been
it
me.
It was great talking to you. We had some good discussions. We also listened in on somebody's solo queue game, and that was super awkward.
Yeah, he was really into his game, though, so more power
yeah,
to him.
No AFK for him.
I hope he won.
You know, kudos.
I hope he won. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, so now I think what we're going to do is, now that the draft is settled and we've had time to really think about our rosters and our pick choices,
And now that we are on the eve of LCS.
And we're head-to-head this first week, too. Us two.
Apropos, it is the Hooks Pan.
El Clasico.
This is the El Clasico. This is what people, in 10 years from now, is what people will be talking about. Is the week one, season six, fantasy LCS matchup in Tower Dive Inc.
It's gonna be in the newspaper.
Hooks Pan. Hooks v. Pan.
I'm wondering, do you have any buyer's remorse on your roster right now?
We have to take a picture like that, by the way. Of us
fighting?
Being like, you know, of Dukes, you know, of there, and just be like, dun, 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 you know, like Monday Night Football.
I love it.
I really want to, you know. So do I have any buyer's remorse? I don't know if I have buyer's remorse or I'm more angry with certain people that I had to take that I didn't want. So I guess it's a form of buyer's remorse, but I don't know who I would have. I don't know who I would have picked. I don't think I had a good enough.
Eight people in a league, you start to run out of picks pretty fast.
You know? Yeah, and I don't think we were expecting that because we've usually been in 16.
Yeah, and you got tons of people.
Yeah, it's just like, God, I'm gonna come in out of my ears.
I last season, I had I got Fabevin and Reckless.
I had Yellow. I was terrible. Yeah, I'm a bad example to use. I had Yellow Star and nothing else. No, I felt. You know, I was like, all right, you know what? I can pick a top laner a little bit later on. And I got Oduwamne, and I don't not like Oduwamne, but I felt like my plan was blown up because I didn't have a great plan. I was like, oh, I'm just going to get these guys. Nobody's going to pick these guys. Damn it, you all pick these guys. I hate you all. You know, I have so many times over the course of that draft that the person picking before me picked the player I wanted. Probably five times.
Oh, yeah. That happened a lot.
It was mostly you.
That only happened the first three rounds because all of those sleepers you were talking about in the previous show, not sleepers, good picks.
All those guys that you said weren't sleepers?
They're not sleepers. They're just good picks. It's different.
Listen. They were a secret up until I let the secret out.
I kind of had the same...
Cats out of the bag. You took my advice.
I kind of had the same problem as you. I waited a real long time for my top later.
You have underwear as your top later.
I ended up with underwear. Which
he's on splice.
I mean, it was fine. It was late in the round, late in the pick. But at the same time, I don't know if he's gonna put up any points. You know,
he's got a really good week though.
Yeah, he's got a good week, and
Origin and Elements.
That team's been playing together for a really long time. So
listen, that might be a good pick. That might end up being a really good pick, actually.
But I'm a little bit nervous about it. I also ended up with CLG's bot lane. Of Afro and Stixxay.
Which that was just. This just makes you look like a chumpy fan.
I didn't really want them. I mean, Afro will put up points, but.
Yeah, Afro was a good pick. I'm not going to say that.
There were literally no mid laners left. I'm like, well.
You picked an ADC.
I guess I'll pick Stixxay. I
mean, he's an ADC.
Yeah, I know, because I wanted a mid laner.
Oh, you wanted a mid laner? I see what
there
you're saying.
Nobody. You know, it was going to be like.
I was so concerned. As to why nobody was picking Bjergsen.
Yeah, me too.
And then I picked him, and I'm like, is there something that I don't know? Is he dead?
Did he get hurt?
Did he die?
Did he get wrist problems?
Is he gone? Is he suspended for 6 weeks?
Yeah.
You know, so I picked him, and I like Bjergsen. I think he's a very good player, incredibly gifted player.
Too.
Yeah, I'm just, no, now I'm worried. Now I'm nervous.
Yeah, that's good. So,
is there one player that you wish you had? Looking at your roster right now, I mean, don't make it stupid and obvious. But if you could say, you know what, if I could, I would trade this player for this. And don't say, like I said, don't make it dumb.
I would trade Stixxay for Forgiven, definitely.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would.
Well, Forgiven's kind of a risk, you know. Sometimes he doesn't do so great.
Yeah, but he's on a very good team right now.
I'm a little bit nervous about Gank My Mom. But I think that's pretty good. I would trade Wonderwear for, you know, a handful of other top laners. But I mean, top laner is such a no one gives a shit about top laner. They're gonna get 15 or 20 points as long as they win.
Although it might be more impactful this season.
It might be, but right now the meta's so tank heavy, it might not be impactful
at
all.
We'll see. Yeah. The biggest thing like I said, Oduwamne, I'm not in love with. And I'll be honest, I really was hesitant to get Jankos. Despite the fact that he's looked very good, I just, for some reason, was very hesitant on that. Listen, that may turn out to be one of my best picks. I got him so late. That may turn out to be amazing because this team that he's on is a really good team. But also, Conquan scares the bejesus out of me. Scares the living bejesus out of me. I feel like support is my weakest spot, because my backup support is high.
That's rough. High doesn't get any points ever, no matter what role he's in.
I mean,
you do have Altec there kind of carrying him as well.
I like Altec. I feel like I felt really good about the Altec pick. I felt really good about the Reckless pick.
Yeah, Reckless will get you points too.
So, I'm hoping. But my remorse really comes from my top lane and my jungle. And it's not because I don't respect them as players. It's just that I had a different plan going in and they were not part of it.
Basically, me too. I was like, I'm just going to wait on my top lane and my jungle.
I'll tell you right now, my plan was really Spirit and Hard were going to be my top and jungle. But you picked Spirit. And I didn't want to force to pick Hard, because then I didn't have the jungler that I wanted. I didn't want to go Hard and Jankos. So I ended up with Hard, but then I was like, I need to get whoever the best top laner is available right now. So that was what I forced into Odo. That was why I went Odoamne in that direction instead. So it really, you really threw a, because it was going to go like, I was like, all right, I'll pick Spirit here. Then I can, it pushes everything else that I need to do, because then I had my high impact picks. Because I already had Altec. I already had Bjergsen at the time. I might have already had Reckless. And I was like, okay, well, it's good. I can get Spirit. And then no one's going to pick Hard until late in the game. And I feel confident getting him.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I could see what other picks are still available at that point. But I'm good. Yeah. And then you threw a fucking monkey wrench. Because then I was hoping to pick a team. Because then I wanted Origin. I was like, I can go Spirit, and I can get Origin. Yeah, you really took so many of my picks.
Well, I was right before you,
half the time.
So.
The other half the time, I was before you.
We were bud buddies there.
Yeah. Asshole.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. Ruining well, everything I'm trying to do.
On that high note, let's wrap up the show.
Yes. On the high note of you ruining everything of mine, why I can't have nice things, this has been another fucking letdown. Thanks, guys. As always, it's been a blast. We are closing in on 1 year.
Yeah, we're getting there.
For those that have,
a couple of you have been there since the beginning.
A couple of you have been with us since close to the beginning. I don't think anybody's been there from the beginning, because I don't think there was anybody at the beginning. But a few of you have been there really early.
I count Merrick a little bit, because he did listen to every episode before we interviewed him.
I love that bastard.
So, there's that.
I love that bastard. Merrick, if you're listening, keep being awesome.
We should plug his podcast. Do you know what it's called?
We should plug his podcast, and I do know what it's called. Just give me a second to get the actual name.
After we interviewed Merrick, he was one of the moderators on the League of Legends subreddit. He wanted to clear up some of this drama that was going on, and he was gracious enough to come on our show and give his side of the story. But after doing that, he was inspired to do his own podcast, and he started a Pokemon-themed show, and it's actually been doing really well.
Yeah. And I am working on finding it as
we speak.
He's
done a great job building up a pretty robust Twitter follower, much more robust than ours. And I think it's some good stuff. So if you're into Pokemon, you should definitely head on over there and check that out. He's a super, super guy. Just super.
Also knows an insane amount of, about Pokemon in general.
It's him making the podcast.
It's the Pokemon Go podcast.
There it is.
I didn't want to. Yeah, I knew it was Pokemon Podcast, but I'm sure there already is that. But it's Pokemon Go Podcast.
I'm sure you can find it on iTunes.
Yeah. His name is Joe. Mm-hmm. He's not going by Merrick on it. He's going by Joe. So if you're into that, we're plugging something that's completely not League of Legends. But listen, don't deny it. You love Pokemon.
Who doesn't?
I love it. But yeah, their podcast is actually a good time. And he's a great guy. So if you have the opportunity and you're looking for something cool to listen to about something slightly nerdy, but in a good way, definitely give them a shot. But other than that, we are Tower Dive. We will always be Tower Dive unless someone pays us a lot of money to change our name. I, of course, am the ever eloquent Captain Hooks.
And I am the slightly less eloquent Panda Man.
And thanks for listening, and we will see you all.